any when who says lives are serial.
You saying I could be alive before I was born?
Yes.
Maybe I can find me and kill myself, said Mr. Tulip, staring at the sand.
No, because you will never know, and you may be leading quite a different life.
Good.
Death patted Mr. Tulip on the shoulder, which flinched under his touch. I shall leave you now.
It's a good scythe you got there, said Mr. Tulip, slowly and laboriously.
That silverwork's craftsmanship, if I ever saw it.
Thank you, said Death.
And now I really must be going. But I will pass through here sometimes. My door, he added, is always open.
He strode off. The hunched figure fell behind into the darkness. But a new one appeared, running madly across the not-exactly sand. It was waving a potato on a string. It stopped when it saw Death, and then, to Death's amazement, turned to look behind it. This had never happened before. Most people, upon coming face to face with Death, ceased worrying about anything behind them.
Is there anyone after me? Can you see anyone?
No. Were you expecting anyone?
Oh, right, no one, eh? Right, said Mr. Pin, squaring his shoulders. Yeah, ha! Hey, look, I've got my potato.
Death blinked, and then took an hourglass out of his robe.
Mr. Pin, the other one. I have been expecting you.
That's me, and I've got my potato, look, and I'm very sorry about everything.
Mr. Pin was feeling quite calm now. The mountains of madness have many little plateaux of sanity. Death stared into the madly smiling face.
You are very sorry.
Oh, yes.
About everything?
Yep.
At this time, in this place, you declare you are sorry?
That's right, you got it. You're bright. So, if you'll just show me how to get back...
You would not like to reconsider?
No arguing. I want what's due, said Mr. Pin. I've got my potato. Look.
And I see.
Death reached into his robe and pulled out what looked to Mr. Pin at first sight like a miniature model of himself. But there was a rat skull looking out from under the tiny cowl. Death grinned.
Say hello to my little friend, he said.
The Death of Rats reached out and snatched the string.
Hey!
Do not put all your trust in root vegetables. What things seem may not be what they are, said Death. Yet let no one say I don't honour the law.
He snapped his fingers.
Return, then, to where you should go.
Blue light flickered for a moment around the astonished Pin, and then he vanished.
Death sighed and shook his head. The other one had something in him that could be better, he said. But that one, he sighed deeply. Who knows what evil lurks in the heart of men?
The Death of Rats looked up from the feast of potato.
Squeak,
he said. Death waved a hand dismissively.
Well, yes, obviously me, he said. I just wondered if there was anyone else.
William, ducking from doorway to doorway, realised that he was taking the long way round. Otto would have said that it was because he didn't want to arrive. The storm had abated slightly, although stinging hail still bounced off his hat. The much bigger balls from the initial onslaught filled the gutters and covered the roads. Carts had skidded, pedestrians were hanging onto the walls. Despite the fire in his head, he took out his notebook and wrote, "Hailstones bigger than golf balls," and made a mental note to check one against a golf ball just in case. Part of him was beginning to understand that his readers might have a very relaxed attitude about the guilt of politicians, but were red-hot on things like the size of the weather. He stopped on the brass bridge and sheltered in the lee of one of the giant hippos. Hail peppered the surface of the river with 1,000 tiny sucking noises. The rage was cooling now. For most of William's life, Lord de Worde had been a distant figure staring out of his study window in a room lined with books that never got...